This week, we'll learn about concerns at the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services with AFGE Local 3377 President Kevin Tinker and Vice President Cynthia Jarvis. We'll also discuss AFGE's Young Program with VA Local 2109 member John Maban and VA Local 1988 steward Marcellus Shields. But first, we've been joined by retired AFGE members Terry Blackburn and Bob Thompson and DOD Local 1662 President Katie Rasdale. Terry, Bob, and Katie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So as I understand, the three of you have been working together on AFGE's DEFCON Mentor Program. And Terry and Bob, you helped Katie get her local going again and getting it to the place that it needs to be. Why don't you guys talk to us about that for a minute?
We went in April to assess the local. We found it totally dysfunctional with no leadership. The fortunate thing for us, we could hold a special election, and we found people within the local who were desperately in need of help. And they volunteered to step up and run for the special election that we held. Once we'd done the special election in July, Katie won as the president, and other people had stepped up to those positions. And the local turned around 100%. We started seeing people walk in and join. People stopping you and asking you for help. And our primary goal was to make them functional, to give them the tools, the training that they needed, and answer their questions. My week was during the monthly meeting, and several times after the meeting, I was there maybe an hour, hour and a half, just talking to the bargaining unit. They desperately wanted AFGE's presence back on the installation. Management wasn't so crazy about us coming back, but they're learning. And Katie, in my opinion, is doing a fantastic job teaching them that AFGE will protect their bargaining units.
Katie, I want to hear from you, but first, Terry, talk to me about your role as one of the other mentors in this program.
Well, my role basically was taking and looking at their administrative functions, and let's just say they were severely dysfunctional. There were limited records available. The financials were in disarray. My local, we have no idea when the last time it was updated. So it was total chaos in the office. So that was my role, was to pretty much get down to where they were and bring them up to where they should be. And with a lot of help from Katie and help from the district, and that came with them buying us a brand new computer, because the thing they had was something that I hadn't seen in like 20 years. And to get things squared away, and they're doing a wonderful job now. The new treasurer they have, she's just amazing. So it's a good program, and it came around, and they were just good people to work with.
Terry, as you were getting going at the very beginning stages of this, what was going through your mind as you're embarking on this project?
The first time I looked at the financials, I'm like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? You know, I'm looking at like, and we're looking, when was your last LM form? Well, we don't know. When did the last time you filed taxes? Well, we thought they were mailed in. This is the former president talking to me. Well, I think we mailed them in. Come to find out, they hadn't done an IRS form in like 2 years. So had to work with the IRS, had to work with Department of Labor, and everything's fine right now.
And that leads us to you, Katie. Talk to me about what made you want to get involved at a time when the local was at its lowest.
I had been dealing with our management level for quite a long time, and there were a lot of people who were just in disarray and making a lot of phone calls to Washington, D.C. to try to get people in to help us. Our calling District 12, which is in California, getting representation, and management where I'm from was doing whatever they wanted to do. And I had been involved in the union since I had started working at Fort Huachuca, been a longtime union member my whole working career. So it wasn't a hard choice for me. It was getting somebody there who could show us how to do the things that we needed to do. And I was extremely lucky between the DEFCON members and MVP McCubbin walking and stepping up to the plate and allowing our local to do this. But it was cleaning up and putting that structure and that foundation back into place, so our members know that, hey, we're here. You can call us, you can come see us, you know. and getting members to join. And that's the most important thing that we can do, and let the DOD know that we have a voice and we're not going to give up. And that's what we're trying to do right now.
Speaking of joining the union, as I understand, you've increased your membership significantly since this project got underway.
Yes, we did a couple membership drives back in March where we got quite a few number of members. But once we got the My Local actually all cleaned up, we ended up with about 74 federal employees on that list. And it was a little bit to clean up. We got like 35 members the first time we went out and did it. But we try, as a local, the goal that we put in front of us is one new member a week. If we can get one new member a week, that's 52 members in a year, and then eat up our membership drives. And sometimes we're lucky. Sometimes we get 12 people who want to join. But, you know, if I can get them into my office and explain the importance of being educated as an employee, they're all about wanting to join. And getting them to step up to the plate and be a bigger part of what's going on is the best education that we can give them.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're here with three AFGE members, Terry Blackburn, Katie Rasdale, and Bob Thompson. Bob, what is your involvement at this point now? Are you still mentoring the local?
Yes. Terry and George and I, we talked. There was no way we could just walk away. We've done six trips to Huachuca to train, to assist. We took it upon ourselves. We were scheduled to go in as a group 1 week a month. After evaluating it, it was like, this won't work. This is not fair. So we started going in a week at a time, separate, to give them 3 weeks with us. When we left, it was like, okay, Katie, here's the phone number, here's the email. Don't be afraid not to call. And I know several phone calls and email traffic between Terry, Katie, and I. It's the only way to ensure that she still has access to the tools. We're tools. We're supplying her with the knowledge and the ability. I've been some sort of union official for almost 25 years. So now that I'm retired, there's still a bunch of knowledge running around up there that I can give her. I'm not blowing my horn. I'm amazed at how well they have turned around and done with just the minimal contact that they've had with us. It's a blessing.
And Katie, how have you felt having mentors like Bob and like Terry to help you along the way and get this local back to where it needs to be?
I couldn't ask for the two of the best people to be put in that situation with me. They understood. Many a night I sat and cried because I couldn't figure out what we were going to do. And Terry would get phone calls from me, and I'd be in tears. And Bob would go just, you know, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And that was the greatest thing. That just made things so much easier for me to be the president and to work with our membership and do that.
And Terry, how does it make you feel to see the efforts that you put into this paying off at the end with increased membership at the local and it getting back to where it needs to be?
Well, it's kind of like having a baby. And you've got this baby, and you're trying to raise it up the way it should be, and then all of a sudden, there they are. They're an adult, fully functional, and they're doing a wonderful job and taking care of not only themselves but the people surrounding them. And I'm just so proud of Katie. I mean, we couldn't have asked for a better person to become president of the local, and I know she's going to give so much back to AFGE and other people.
Katie, now that the local is up and running and functioning, are you able to focus on the issues of representing employees and working with management to solve problems?
I'm trying to do that, but it's a very difficult thing to do at times. Management, the local has not had a voice for such a long time. Management has a hard time that now that the local is starting to have a voice and questioning the things that are put in front of us on, and we have to deal with. So it's a work in progress on that part of it. But the biggest thing that I've done is educate our memberships. We send out monthly newsletters, everything we get, I put out to the membership, you know, things that management doesn't want to talk about. Those are the important things. Those are the things that make a difference as a local president, you know, and again, pulling in our retirees. I made a huge effort to contact our DOD retirees and ask them to come help us. And they're truly stepping up to the plate. They want to take an active role. And because of Bob and Terry, it works for us. And they're able to man the phones during the day when I can't be there. They're representing our employees. They're showing our generation because we do have a lot of new people coming in. We have a lot of people retiring. So we want to enforce that and try to get them to come back and give us a couple hours a week and help us build this local to be what it used to be.
With active retirees like Bob and like Terry, do you think there are other opportunities to tap into their knowledge, perhaps through AFGE's Young Program or some other vehicle?
We should always be going back to what we know, because as we all know, history repeats itself over and over and over again. This is not the first time we're talking about RIFs. This is not the first time we're talking about BRACs. So you have to use the tools that you have that's available to you, and their knowledge, if you ask, they will give it to you. And that's where we need to be focusing on, using what we know to build our young so they know the rules and the regulations and they know how things are going to work.
Terry, why did you become a federal employee?
Part of it was my father was a federal employee, and I knew the benefits of being a federal employee. And back then, there was a lot of job stability with being a federal employee. So that was the thing. And I liked giving back, and I liked helping, and worked a lot with the soldiers. It meant a lot to me. And that was really why I joined. But then when I came in, I saw the inequality of the treatment of the people. And the reason I joined AFGE was the little gal that sat next to me. I was sitting there and I'm moaning and complaining about what's going on. And she turned and looked at me and she goes, "If you're not going to join the union, shut up. I don't want to hear you." And that made all the difference in the world.
And Bob, how about you? You mentioned that you've been at this game for quite a while, a couple of decades at least.
Oh, yeah.
What brought you to it?
I spent 7 years in uniform, left the service, couldn't find anyone that had a 105-millimeter gun mounted on their car for me to work on. I'm a mechanic for the Army. I'm one of the few people that actually like working on that kind of stuff. Had an opportunity to go to Fort Knox and go to work in the profession that the Army had spent several dollars to train me in. When I got to the shop and started listening to what was going on and interacting with the other mechanics, I'm not known for keeping my mouth shut, and I was kind of getting myself in a bind, and it's like a good friend of mine came by and said, "Fill this form out. You just joined the union or they're going to nail you." Through that old Stuart taking me under his wing, I become active. I was raised UAW Teamster, so it was already there. It was just I need to apply. And I became active as a Stuart in mid to late 80s. And through that, Stuart, Chief Stuart at Large, Executive Vice, and President. Because the need was still there. As Katie said, the battles are always there. They haven't changed. The people change. Whoever's in charge on the Hill changes. But the impacts to the bargaining unit people are always there. I've always tried to tell my people, we're a politician's pawn, and we pay their prices. If you want to protect yourself, you buy car insurance, join the union, pay your dues. A lot cheaper, and we're here to fight for your job.
Katie, as we close out here today, what advice would you give to a local that might be struggling or having some problems, but wanting to lift itself out of that and get to a better place?
They need to talk to their district vice president. They're going to be the ones who are going to allow the DEFCON team to come in and work with them and take that opportunity, because if you have young people and they don't know how to fix the problems, you're going to end up in a bigger hole than when we were. And your local is yours. You have to build it. You have to maintain it. It's like a flower. So you want to keep that relationship going, but you have to talk to your vice presidents and your districts and let them know what's going on, because sometimes they don't know. And so keep that communication open. But when you start making phone calls outside of your district, that's a big red flag. And people need to know that there are people out there that can come in and help you and take advantage of the opportunities that are given in front of you.
Terry Blackburn, Katie Rasdale, and Bob Thompson, AFGE members, thank you so much for your time and coming on here and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. Up next, we'll learn about concerns at the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services with AFGE Local 3377 President Kevin Tinker and Vice President Cynthia Jarvis.